May 31st, and the Ira Kaufman podcast is on. We're here at One Buck Palace with the sage of Tampa Bay sports. There he is, wearing his Ed Morse Cadillac white. You're in the whites, Ira. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. And I've got an announcement, a big announcement, Ira, because it's confirmed now. You will be, now this we've never put this out here like this before, so this is unique, Ira. Now, Thursday, June 20th, you will be at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.
Causeway Boulevard.
There you
go. Let me say it before you do.
5 to 7 p.m., free food, free refreshments.
You can stop right there, Isbitz, as far as I'm concerned. Continue.
And Cadillac always does it right with these party events. The XT6, the new XT6, gorgeous, is being rolled out at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ira will be there Thursday, June 20th. And anyone can join you, Ira. Anybody listening can come and have some hors d'oeuvres with the sage.
Can they come out and we take a test drive in this XT6, Isbitz?
No test drive. It's the rollout of the new 2020 XT6. Now, of course, all sorts of other Cadillacs will be there to test drive. But all they have to do is go to edmorsecadillacbrandon.com to RSVP, bring a friend, and it's a party.
It's a freebie.
It's a freebie, as Ira would say, but... And look at the great value to hang out with Ira. Come on. And the same thing the next night, if you don't want to go out to Brandon, at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275
Fletcher
on Fletcher
Avenue.
There
Fletcher
you go, Avenue. Fletcher. Ira's got his addresses down. And
I got Waze. W-A-Z-E. I put right into my phone. It lands me right there. No problem.
Friday.
I use it to get back to my house on a Friday night. I don't know what's going on, so I need a little help.
Friday, June 21st, 5 to 7, same deal, just at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, the beautiful big showroom. It's all indoors. This isn't like a sweat-your-butt-off barbecue or something.
Very elegant.
Very elegant, very nice, but there's no dress code whatsoever. And Friday, June 21st, they're moving the XT6 over there. So edmorsecadillactampa.com is where you can RSVP to hang with the sage. And just look for the XT6 rollout, RSVP, bring a friend, free food, drinks.
Everybody scatters at One Buck Place, but we don't, Steve. We show up. We show up.
Ira will be showing up for the free food, of course. All right, I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper's here. Intern Zach is taking notes. Zach Seifter, he's got more questions for you. I heard you told him don't ask me any more questions.
He's a man beast. He's a man beast.
All right, now look, Lee and I were having a great laugh in the media room, and no, we weren't laughing at anyone. We were laughing at this comment, Ira. Now, I saw you were right up in Bruce Arians'
grill,
drilling him, but I think this might have snuck past you, and I don't even know what to say other than alcohol might be in my future this weekend, Ira. Now, Bruce Arians dropped this. Okay, he was asked about, very benign, very, you know, name a position group that after all this time you've looked at and said, hey, you know, it's not as bad as I thought. I'm going to read you here his response. Probably secondary. We're really, really good, Arians said. With Carlton Davis and Vernon Hargraves, we knew we had two solid corners. Now we got five solid corners. Ryan Smith came along. So, yeah, earmarked as a problem set back in January. It's totally fixed. Just knock on wood, they stay healthy.
And at that point, the Bucs PR staff ushered Arians back into the air conditioning because, obviously, we're set at cornerback. DeKemper, what's going on here? I mean, I'm not even sure about the starters. They're not proven. I thought Carlton Davis was okay as a rookie. He was okay. Hargraves has one career pick in 3 years. Five deep at corner? Come on, DeKemper. What's going on?
My first reaction, I told Steve when we were talking about it, my first reaction, my head almost hit my desk table. I was like, wait a minute. You guys completely misjudged or misevaluated your cornerbacks. Therefore, you traded out of the third round when you had a chance to get Daryl Henderson and go get a scrub corner from, not from Central Michigan, but at any rate.
You don't do that if you think you're set strong at corner.
Yeah, and there were two positions that this team still has a glaring need, not before the draft, after the draft.
Well, I looked,
and
at
they could have got him, and instead they drafted corners. Like,
Lee,
oh.
I looked at Isbitz when Arian said that, and I could see Steve was holding back because you know what he was going to say. We've seen Ryan Smith, Coach Arians.
Well,
we've seen him.
We've seen him what? Play for Mike Smith.
We've seen him at safety. We've seen him at corner. We've seen him play for Mike Smith.
Yes, that is a major, major asterisk, bold-faced. And I mentioned to Steve, I said, I think we're going to realize just how pathetic those guys were coached up.
That's going to be the story of the 2019 Bucks, the difference in the coaching staff, if it's there. If it's negligible, the team's not going to do well. This is a referendum on coaching.
Yes, both current and past.
How do you like that, Isbitz? That's a good
referendum.
A little headline for you to throw on one of my columns.
Referendum.
It's a referendum on a new coaching staff.
Now, Ira, we need your sage wisdom. That's why people come to this podcast.
I just threw you out a I just threw you out a nice headline.
I know we got your referendum, but I know we got your referendum line. Big word, Ira. But in all seriousness, Arian said the cornerbacks, they're totally fixed. Okay, he wasn't even asked about cornerbacks. Says it's totally fixed. Now, this is great news, right? For the Buccaneers fan who just listens to this, says, hey, Arians is a genius. We love him. He knows cornerbacks. He's watching these guys. We got good receivers they're working against. Is this all coach speak? What do you make of this?
Well, I'll tell you one way to look at this, Lee, is that I think there's more of a burden on corners than there was in the Mike Smith system in a way. Because they were playing soft coverage, 8 yards back.
I would suggest they're playing no coverage.
And now, if the pass rush doesn't get there and the guy makes a quick move, he's past the corner. There's no cushion. That's the way Todd Bowles wants to play it. Frankly, I like that. And I think everybody in this room does. We like aggressive defense. But it doesn't come without danger.
Sure.
Those corners better be able to have good technique or they're going to get burned badly.
Well, that's true, but, last year they got Burton Bagley with no coverage.
Yeah.
Or soft coverage, whatever you want to call it, garbage coverage. So, this team could be bad defensively, and it'd still be an improvement.
I'm very curious to see. Look, the word you keep hearing is aggression. Aggressive. Sue said it today. Lee, you were there. I want to push the line of scrimmage right back in the face of the offensive line. Change the line of scrimmage. Not hold your ground. You heard Arian say it the other day. We don't want to hold our ground. We want to penetrate up the field. I'm curious to see how this all works out. Even if they're bad on defense, it's going to look like a different defense, Lee. It will look like a different defense.
Like I said earlier, if they're bad, they'll actually improve. I mean, it's mind-blowing how bad they were last year. Just sad.
Steve, I take it you do not share Arian's absolute belief in the cornerbacks on this ball club at this point.
Well, it's too early to say. I mean, I wouldn't bet money on it, Ira, but it is too early. We haven't seen anything real.
Just looking
out
at
there.
Jamel play, you're fixed. Bunting, you're fixed. Well, Mike Edwards, you're fixed.
Ryan Smith, I don't know, that took me back. Ira, that put me straight on speed dial to ABC to prepare the kid.
And the first guy that he mentioned, who has jumped out at you? Ronald Jones. He keeps saying Ronald Jones. What's going on with this old Ronald Jones?
Well, I believe him
on this coaching staff.
Look, we wrote at Joe Bucks Fan last year, Dirk Cutter's track record with rookie running backs was extraordinarily poor. He just wasn't a guy who trusted him. And, it just didn't. From Devontae Freeman to he even, split carries with Maurice Jones-Drew when he had him. And
so this kid got 23 carries.
I think this
year.
Jones didn't get a lot of chances. And he, not that he earned anything other than Bucks fans holding their head. But who drafted Ronald Jones? That's a bigger question to me because would Cutter really draft a guy I didn't want to use? So that's odd. The whole thing is odd.
And here's a couple stories I heard about Ronald Jones last
wasn't
year.
Wasn't the story, Lee, that he wasn't picking up the playbook early in the season?
I had heard that too, but that's a consistent theme with young running backs and Cutter. Not picking up. Remember Snoop Dogg McPlaybook? How can we forget? Yeah. And a draft loaded with running backs. They settle for this guy. Here's a couple things I heard about Cutter and Ronald Jones. And Steve just pointed out that, we've written several times about Cutter's track record with rookie running backs. It's not good. I had heard that Cutter gave up on Jones pretty quickly. Jones was struggling for a variety of reasons, and Cutter threw in the towel on him, partially because, and I totally get this. Fans won't get it. I totally get it. I mean, Todd Monken said it out loud at one of his press conferences. The coaches were in cover your ass mode, win now mode, career preservation.
Shouldn't that have changed once the season was obviously lost?
No. Because they were still hoping that, you know, they could put together, you know, like, hey, we turn this thing around, we have momentum, here we go. But I had heard that Cutter pretty quickly gave up on Ronald Jones.
He didn't get a carry in the first three games, Lee. Not one carry.
Well, that would be consistent if you gave up early on him, because Cutter was like, you know, I can't wait for this guy to develop. I got to win games or my rear end's out of here. It adds up. Now, I'm not, you know, this is what I was told. I haven't had a chance to ask Dirk Cutter, give him an opportunity to rebut this or not. But that's what I have heard, you know, in a round, indirect way, coming from when this inside.
Can you
these
imagine
walls.
How frustrated Jason Light was last season regarding the use of or the not use of Ronald Jones?
Well, not just him. I'm sure the entire scouting department, but Light especially, because he was not safe last year either. You know, by the grace of Bruce Arians, he's still here. You have to figure. So I'm sure he was more than frustrated. Now, Steve was at a game. I think it's kosher to say this story. Isn't it, Steve, how you heard a reaction from someone in Jason Light's entourage throw a chair up against a desk at a press box toward the end of a game or something along those lines?
In what kind of situation?
Frustration. You know, they're losing and the game's almost over. I told you a story before, but it's not related to what we're speaking about here. But when the Capitol collapsed in Washington, how Light and his staff were right behind me and beating on the desks and the loud groans of sighs and muttering of cussing words under their breaths. It was staggering. Steve, weren't you the one telling me this? That you didn't see it, but you heard it. Like someone, you know, like slammed the chair up against the desk, and it came from Light's entourage.
Yeah, we've told that before. Yeah, that's understandable, especially in the heat of a game. I can't read too much to a heat of a game when these guys, you know, their whole life is into these 20 games a year.
Steve, but, is it fair to wonder why Jones wasn't used more down the stretch once the season was over?
Well, here's a more fair question, Ira. Ndamukong Suh met the media today, and I want your impressions, of course, of what you saw there. But you brought up Jason Light. In this whole courting of Sue, in the discussion of Sue, with Arians talking about him, everything we've heard about Sue and the Buccaneers, has anyone mentioned the general manager's name in recruiting this guy and vetting him? Nobody has once said, Jason did a good job checking him out. Nobody, it's like he doesn't exist.
He said Todd Bowles is the attraction, Bruce Arians.
Arians has never mentioned Light and Sue. Bowles never mentioned the general manager. It's very odd.
You can't tell me, Lee, realistically, we know how football works. The Bucs knew they were going to get Sue. He was out there. There was a reason why he was out there. They had conversations with his representatives. It was a question of timing. When's it going to happen? And once they had it nailed down, then Gerald McCoy was shipped out. Sue was going to be a Buc. A month or two ago, in my opinion.
You think it was because they signed Sue and then McCoy went bye-bye, or the fact that Light, I'm struggling for the word, but burned out, that's not what I'm looking for, but burned out every chance he had to try to find a way to trade him away? Burned out's not the word, the phrase I'm looking for. It's exhausted.
Lee, my take is Sue was not fending off 12 different suitors in the last month or two. He's got a fairly hefty price tag, not as high as McCoy, but hefty. This is his fourth team, third maybe in the last 3 years, and he didn't play all that well for the Rams during the regular season. He turned it up. I'm the first to admit it, which is what you want when the Vince Lombardi trophy is within your sight. I believe, Steve, they gave up 5.1 yards per rush playing next to Aaron Donald. That's a little ominous to me. Sue's known as a run stuffer. That's his first reputation, run stuffer.
More so than a pass rusher?
I believe, yes. More so than McCoy. You know, McCoy's thing is quickness off the ball. Sue is a mountain of a man, strong. You can't budge him. I was talking to Ryan Jensen, and it'll be in my column on Friday, what it's like to play against Sue. We played against him 2 years ago. Final score, Ravens 40, Dolphins 0.
Ooh.
On Thursday Night Football. But he was very complimentary of Sue. Look, I think he's all smiles. Wouldn't you be? The man, now I called him newly married on a tweet. That's wrong. It's newly engaged.
Boy, did you get corrected by Jenna Lane.
Oh, did I get corrected. You can't get away with anything in this media room, right, Zach? You see the way the snipers are.
Well, it was Jenna, and she wasn't doing it.
She didn't do it in a mean way.
Giving people some baseball, inside baseball. I read Twittered out that Sue just got married.
Newly married.
But yeah, it was newly engaged. Newly and engaged. I guess Jenna was going through Twitter, and she had her headphones on. And she didn't know that she was as loud as what she came across as. And I was like, Ira!
And of course, I got too much pride to correct it over there, Zach. I haven't corrected it. It's 2 hours later. It's still out there. And she's newly married.
She screamed at you from across the room with the headphones on, Ira, he's not married. He got engaged.
Well, I guess one could say, you know, if you're engaged, aren't you really married? Right? I mean, come on.
You know, here's one to Steve's point about light. I'll ask you this, Ira. It's interesting for me. The fact that Sue didn't bring up Light, because where did Light play college football?
Nebraska.
Yeah. You don't think he would have mentioned that? He mentioned Levante David.
He did.
Even though they never played it together.
He did. He mentioned Bo Pelini.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. But he didn't mention Light.
He didn't mention Light. Arians, obviously, Steve, very, very happy to add what will soon be number 93 on your Buck roster. Why wouldn't you be happy? He's 32 years old, but he's still got some juice left. Steve, got some juice left.
When you're the head coach and you're talking about help on defensive line equaling fattening up Will Golston, of course you're happy when Ndamukong Suh walks through the door. But Ira, your other impressions of Suh, there he is on the podium, as you like to say. Your thoughts?
The first word that comes to my mind, unapologetic. And he was asked very pointed questions about his reputation. Not just for suspensions, but the word was used, dirtiest. Mm-hmm. You have been on the list of dirtiest players in the league. That's a tough word, Lee. Nobody wants that word.
Unless you're Conrad Dobler.
That's a Conrad Dobler word. That's a Richie Incognito.
And Conrad Dobler embraced that.
Yeah. And I'm surprised that Sue didn't end up with Chucky and the Raiders, because he's getting quite a stable over there. But unapologetic. Lee, he says, my record speaks for itself. That's a strong way to answer these charges. He doesn't think he's dirty. He thinks he's aggressive. He'll live with the $600,000 in fines. As long, I think, as they're mistakes of aggression and not these stupid offsides that Buck fans have gotten used to, these pre-snap penalties, those are unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Arians will go crazy about those penalties. He can live with a roughing the passer on occasion. He can live with it. And so can Buck fans, Lee, and you know that.
Yeah, the swaggy Bakers of the world getting called off sides when McCoy told him there was going to be a hard count, and he ignored him.
Or Dotson or Donovan Smith, all, you know, false start. They drive the fans crazy.
Well, Steve wrote this up before. One of the very first practices, it was indoors in the Glazer shed. I like that better than Glazer Dome.
And a very well-done Glazer shed. It's a heck of a facility.
And, they're practicing. It was Casey Rogers, defensive line coach. And they were practicing hard snaps, not going, watching the ball. And, of course, Golston jumped, and he chewed Golston out. And I'm not anti-Golston. It was just a point of fact that's an emphasis. Don't be dumb. Watch the ball. It's elementary football. You watch the ball. You don't listen to a snap count. You watch the ball. Well, Golston jumped, and Casey Rogers, a Parcells disciple, jumped all over him.
You know, I'll add one other word to the unapologetic for Sue. Another word that jumps out for me is proud. Proud of what he's done in this league for a 9-year period. Durable as hell. You can't knock his durability. Fantastic for an interior defensive lineman.
Never missed a game.
He gets hurt. He gets nicked up. It's not like he doesn't. We try to make that point about Rondé Barber with that crazy streak of 200. Doesn't mean Rondé Barber didn't get hurt.
Isbeth's never got nicked up. Has he missed a day of work in 10 years?
I believe he's missed two. One of them's on my birthday. But he's very proud of his legacy in this league. And I thought it was interesting. He thinks from a physical point of view, he didn't say five more years, but it's like he thinks he can play a long time. It's the mental edge. If he loses that, he'll know that it's time to. That's a good answer.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, here's one for another Sue question for you, Ira. I heard Pat Kerwin say this 2 days ago on SiriusXM NFL Radio.
Do you miss a radio show, DeKemper?
I try
Have
not
you
to.
Missed one in the last 11 years? It's unbelievable.
Well, it depends what it is. If it's mostly local stuff, yeah, I've missed it. But if it's
Gil Brandt and Marvez and
Howard Stern.
Yeah, Howard Stern.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Stern's got a new book out, Lee.
It's
are you going on Amazon? You going to order it?
No, it's regurgitating old interviews. What's the point,
there you
know? Well, here's my Sue question for you. Now, you're going to have to pause this because I can't. I just lost train of thought. Okay, no, Pat Kerwin.
No pause. We never pause. We just got it.
All right, Pat Kerwin.
Pat Kerwin. Pat Kerwin said a couple days ago on SiriusXM NFL Radio that he thought Sue was not so good last year in the regular season. I take it back. It was not Pat Kerwin, seriously. Michael Lombardi. Michael Lombardi on his podcast. He obviously right-hand man in Bill Walsh, worked with Al Davis, worked with Belichick, was a GM at Cleveland for a time. He went on his podcast and he said he thought the reason why Sue did not have a good regular season last year is because the heat and humidity of Florida took something out of him. He thinks he's a changed player because he's been zapped by the heat and humidity of Florida. Not because he's 32 years old. It's because the heat and humidity of Florida. And he said that's one reason Bucks fans should be
wary.
Yes, wary
of
the signing.
Mike Lombardi needs to listen to the tape of Ndamukong Suh on May 31st at a podium at One Buck Place because he seems to embrace the heat. Steve?
Yeah, I asked him about, you know, what did you learn about preparation from the heat? You know, your 3 years in
Miami.
One of
your better questions.
Oh, well, thank you, Ira. Thank you. I spent all night thinking of that. And Sue said that he loves the heat. And
thinks it can be to your advantage,
and he
right?
thinks that, no, he thinks it is an advantage, should be an advantage. He thinks it prepares you to play in any other climate. And he talked about training in Mississippi with his sister, and he loves it. Now, I believe him because why else would you sign in Tampa if you can't stand the heat? He could have signed somewhere else.
Or train in Mississippi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe that's worse. So I thought it was just – I've never heard a player come in here and say how much he loves the heat. Never.
I
mean, have you ever heard that?
That's very refreshing.
Yeah.
You know.
I never heard that here with the Bucks. So
how many coaches have come through One Buck Place, Lee, saying, oh, it should be an advantage for us, especially in September. And then September ends and they're 1-3. Every freaking
Well, the Bucks have the worst home record since Chucky was fired in the NFC and only one game – ahead of Cleveland since 2009. So whenever I hear a coach talk about we'll use that heat as an advantage, my head immediately clicks off.
Like, yeah, me too. I mean, the dome is supposed to be an advantage to saving bodies. Look what happened last year. The Bucks lost their last four, and the Bucks, you know, supposed to help them at home. Jameis Winston's lost 12 starts in a row on the road. I mean, it's wacky. The whole thing is wacky. But I like the Sue thing, Ira, but I'm going to put you on the spot. This is why people turn in. No, this is why people tune in. Ira, will Sue make Bucks fans forget Gerald McCoy this season?
I'm going to give you a pithy and very honest
pithy.
Answer.
Pithy.
I've talked to a couple of NFL executives in the last few days. Both of them have cast a wary eye on this acquisition. And I think the implication is, is he all in, or is he picking up a paycheck? That's out there, and it's not coming from One Buck Place, and it's probably not coming from Buck fans who are hoping for the best from Sue, but it's a legitimate question that at this phase in Sue's career, he ain't got that much more to prove. He's five-time pro bowler. He's been to the Super Bowl. Is he going to make a major difference? Is he a major upgrade on McCoy? He's a different kind of player, Lee. I'm going to say this. If the 2019 Bucks go 9-7 or 10-6, it's not going to be because of Ndamukong Suh.
If they go 9-6,
9-7,
he will
or
not
10,
be a major player.
I don't think he'll be a major factor. I think he'll be a help. But I don't think he's going to be the difference maker. I don't.
So the people you've spoken to, they're suggesting that Ndamukong Suh very well could be a laggard.
See, you came up with that word today, Lee. I hadn't heard that word in about 11 years. It's a beautiful word. Steve, I guess gave you an answer that you didn't expect. A couple of people outside this organization.
You didn't say yes or no.
I did. So, I said, I don't think he's going to be a major impact player for the Bucks.
How's Tony Dungy doing these days?
Never mind Dungy.
Interesting. What do you have for breakfast?
I said executive.
Yeah, he's not an executive, right?
So, Dungy?
He's not an NFL executive, right?
Dungy doesn't qualify.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right.
You see how Lee tries to pin me down over there, Steve?
Oh, that's too funny. Too funny. All right, look, let's remind everybody very quickly. You can eat and drink with Ira, no charge, at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, June 21st, Friday. Go to edmorescadillactampa.com to RSVP, the beautiful rollout of the Cadillac XT6. And while you're on the website, you can shop all the new offers. The June offers are going to be popping soon. They're not there yet, but you can look at the XT5, the XT4. This XT6 is pretty special. And Thursday, June 20th, same deal, free food and drink with Ira at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Go to edmorescadillacbrandon.com to RSVP. It's all free, and Ira will be there, and maybe he'll be dancing too a little bit.
Are there going to be chips and a dip over there? And what if you double dip your chip, like in that famous Seinfeld episode when the guy chewed out George Costanza for doing that?
I've been to these Cadillac events. Zach, you can go too and just observe Ira. And
Zach,
see.
You got to observe. You got to chart this thing.
Yeah, Zach can chart everything you eat. That would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious.
That would be a great post. Everything Ira ate at Edmore's Cadillac.
I think he'd run. His ink would run out. Yeah, you know. It's all free. It's all free
on the house. So, all right, Ira. Now, the Sue thing. Here he is. He's coming in now. Gerald McCoy is out there. By the time people start listening to the podcast, McCoy might have a new team. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but. The other day, the Ravens owner, now this is a guy, this team has one losing season in the last 10, and something we can't fathom here in Tampa.
Mr. Biscotti,
one of the richest men in the world, smart guy. He's not one of these senile owners, you know, he's still in his 50s, and this guy's a sharp guy. He's out there telling people how much he wants Gerald McCoy here, how much of an impact this could be, and he hopes he goes home and talks to his wife and convinces her this is where it's at. He was doing some sort of conference call with season ticket holders, and this guy, the owner, publicly all in for Gerald McCoy. This is our guy. We want him here.
Can we ever have that around one buck place, Lee? Can we ever have Brian Glazer or Ed Glazer sending out emails and tweets? Can we have it, Lee?
What do you make of an owner jumping into the discussion on a free agent like this for Gerald McCoy?
Biscotti's got to be totally pissed off that McCoy got out of Baltimore. Now, it doesn't mean he's not eventually going to sign with the Ravens, but he obviously never thought he'd get out of Baltimore. And if you've been to Baltimore, you want to get out of Baltimore. No, sorry over there. I've been watching that show, The Wire, and it's set in Baltimore, and it's a tough show. Mm. But, hey, it's nice to be wanted. Tell you what, I've read stories where McCoy doesn't necessarily fit in as a starter in Baltimore. It's a pretty damn good defense. They've been hit hard by free agency, lost guys like Mosley, heck of a linebacker. But traditionally, the Ravens are a physical. See, to me, Sue fits the Ravens' style more than McCoy. The Ravens under Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, they are one of the most physical teams on both sides of the ball. Always good in the trenches, Lee. Always good.
Very much so. I'm going to guess if the owner wants a player that bad, he's going to be starting.
Yeah.
He won't be a backup. Steve Biscotti, you know what his greatest asset is? Greatest offering to the Western civilization is?
Yeah, his name is same as a cookie or something. As an Italian cookie.
He is the uncle of one Taylor Biscotti of the NFL Network. If you have seen her, you will understand why I bring this
Kemper,
up. Say, there's Zach seen her. Zach knows her.
Lee, you never fail to amaze.
Did you hear Zach sigh?
Unbelievable.
Oh. and for good reason. And for good reason.
Ira, that's sort of unprecedented. I was listening to the Tiki and Tierney show up in New York. They had Mary Kay Cabot on.
Say that five times quickly.
She's a very good Cleveland Browns reporter.
Yeah,
she's
very good, expresses everything very clearly, and clearly has the inside track.
Hall of Fame voter for Cleveland.
So there's Mary Kay Cabot, and they're asking her, finally, at the end of this interview, they finally ask her about Gerald McCoy. And this was just 2 days ago. And she goes on to explain that, man, they want him in the worst way. And that, you know, they've been very vocal about it. And you know, this guy, but he didn't fit here. It's interesting.
Usually,
it's really interesting.
Usually teams play these free agent visits kind of close to the vest.
Right.
They don't want to get ahead of the story unless they feel it's 100% guaranteed that we're going to get this guy. And that wasn't the case with McCoy. He had been somewhere before Baltimore. He ended up going somewhere after Baltimore. That was not necessarily a done deal. And here's Biscotti way out there, Lee. As Steve said, highly unusual. Because then if you don't get him, you look bad. Then you look bad. We wanted this guy. All of a sudden, that looks like a referendum, which is my favorite word today, guys.
Lee, not laggard.
A referendum on your franchise that you failed.
Yeah.
That doesn't look good.
And then to complete the circle, Ira, McCoy supposedly in Carolina today. And Ron Rivera has been watching this guy play for 8 freaking years. That's how long he's been coach of Carolina. And he's been analyzing and watching him, and he wants Gerald McCoy on his team.
Facing him twice a year.
The McCoy haters, they can't – I don't know how they rationalize that.
You know, we've been through this so many times, Lee, you know. And I've been criticized for mentioning Jameis Winston's one-loss record for career, which I believe is 21-33, and saying that's a red flag, especially if it's another 5-11 or 6-10. You know, then all of a sudden, you know, you got 5 years in the bank and you're 15 games under 500. Am I going to give the guy $140 million? I've been throwing that out there. And the critics have been saying, this is the ultimate team game. Why are you blaming Winston? He's got no run game. The defense stinks. Lee, you've made that point about the defense, and that's fair. But they want to use that argument against Gerald McCoy. And a quarterback, Lee, am I wrong, has a lot more control over a team's fortunes than an interior defensive lineman, in my opinion. And I don't think you could argue that point necessarily. You can't blame Gerald McCoy for the Bucs going his 9-year career without making the playoffs. I think that's silly.
They've had some good defenses with McCoy. Some. Yeah, when Shiano was here.
5 games in 2016.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So, I'm with you about the McCoy. Now, to me, it started a couple weeks ago. It looks like to me that the Bucs, Reed Arians, got rid of McCoy because of his personality more so than the money. He doesn't like that type of player.
I think there's something to be said for what you're saying.
You know, when you guys, I think it was you specifically, were grilling him about Sue before it looked like Sue. Oh no, Sue had just signed. And it was Steve. Well, Steve asked him about his dirty play. And man, Arian smirked and had the canary, ate a cat.
Said, I hope everybody plays
like
that.
Yeah, I hope he still has that. That look in his eye, you know. And McCoy's not that kind of dude. That's just his personality. You can't ask someone to be someone they're not.
I think Lee's on to something, Steve. I'm not sure it was the $13 million in Arians, in the eyes of Arians and Bowles, as much as it was the style of play of McCoy, and that wasn't going
to
change.
I think he's trying to change the mindset in the locker room. That's what I think he's trying to do.
They want a boss man. They want a couple of boss men in that locker room. I don't know if they have one on the offensive side.
Yeah, that's what I was just going
to
say.
Jameis used to be, but I know certain people listen, and I like Jameis.
Well,
I think
that's taking a tumble.
Yeah, well, if Jameis was the leader we all thought he was when he was drafted, a lot of these shenanigans wouldn't be going on. Now, I'm not talking about Jameis. I'm talking about his teammates. A lot of this nonsense wouldn't be going on. Yeah. You know, the Bakers of the world. You know, if Jameis is really a leader like Johnny Unitas, or there's a couple other quarterbacks you can name, probably Terry Bradshaw's another, he would have slugged Baker.
Those guys win. Those guys win. Makes a difference. Makes a difference.
That's true.
Yeah, there's a lot to that. But I think you look at the other side of the ball, there's a lot of nice guys on that offensive line. I mean, Jensen has that nasty play through the whistle
reputation.
And it's deserved. But the other guys on that line, kind of a bunch of nice guys in a lot of ways.
Speaking of that,
there you go,
speaking of that, Steve, you had a bemused look on your mug when I asked Mr. Arians about his offensive line, and I noted that it returns almost intact from the 2018 unit that I think everybody in this room can agree and every Buck listener that's listening to this podcast can agree, underperformed. Underperformed in 2018. Not horrible in pass protection. Disgraceful in run blocking. And that's a strong word, and I'm sticking with it.
Very
disgraceful.
Strong. So, Lee, I it was so loud there, and I know you're on the other side. I'm not sure you caught this, but so Iris says to Arians about the O-line, you know, hey, you came in, you said this thing needed to be upgraded.
Yeah, why are they going to be better?
And, you know, you didn't really do anything. And Arians goes on and talks about the guys and the camaraderie and says, well, and they just got to stay healthy. And Ira cuts him off and says, you were healthy last year.
I did. I wouldn't let that go, Lee.
One of the proverbs of football is, your offensive line's healthy, you're going to do a good job.
Always when, a big factor.
When,
always.
When the and you even cited this a couple years ago. When the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, I think they lost two starts on the entire offensive line. The whole
and
season.
And they had a hell of an offense.
And they had a hell of an offense. And the Bucs had lost no starts, did they not?
One or two starts, the whole offensive line.
Now, you know me. I'm not, and I learned some information I don't feel like I should share because I know it will get back to the person. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to cut off a stream of source, stream of information. I don't want to cut it off. But I had heard some legitimate reasons why some people thought the offensive line was subpar. And you guys know me. My idea of a rotten offensive line is what the Bucs had Lovie Smith's first year. That's rotten. The Bucs were not rotten. They weren't great. They weren't rotten.
You know, Steve, I also reminded Arians, which you noted, that the first position you ever talked about that needs an upgrade, you mentioned the offensive line. So, Steve, what's the overview of this whole thing? Well, here's the way you got to boil it down, guys. They looked at the talent up front, and they decided, we got better coaches. We're going to get more out of these same guys than, you know, you put the Earl of Watford in at right guard. I'm going to keep using
that. Yeah, because that's a Three Stooges skit line, the Earl of Watford.
But, you know, there's going to be a change at right guard. Four other starters are coming back. I don't think Dotson's going to lose his job at right tackle. Not yet. And, Steve, what other conclusion can you make? They didn't make any splash in the free agency. They didn't do much in the draft in that regard. So you got to think, we got better coaches. We're going to get more out of Marpet, Smith, Jensen, Dotson.
Could it possibly be, you know, the Bucs offense was built to pass. It wasn't built to run last year, in part because they didn't have a whole lot of confidence in guys at running back. It makes sense, all the sense in the world. Could it just be their run schemes just weren't meant to be for
run
blocking?
For 3 years in a row?
Oh, I can't go that back to 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's jumping on last year, but I don't think the Bucs offense was that horrible the last 3 years.
They haven't run in three years.
Well, again, their offense was not built to run. If you build an offense to pass, why should you hound people if you're supposed to excel at something you're not built for? That's like expecting a lightweight boxer to take on Muhammad Ali. It's not built for that.
I mean,
who knows what really the hell they were doing, honestly. I mean, moving Marpet like they did. You know, Bruce Arians doesn't think Marpet's the center. I haven't heard any hint of that.
I can say this. Like I said, I don't want to blow up certain sources, but I can say this. And it was out there. Cutter even said some of it. When Cutter first got here, his offensive line coach, sat at that podium, I'm pointing towards the studio where the podium is, stood right there and said, Lovie Smith wants to run the ball. He's the head coach. Okay? I had also heard, and I said this on a previous podcast, Lovie told Dirk Cutter, you're not to put Jameis in an embarrassing situation. You're not to make him look bad. Don't embarrass him. Well, what does it embarrass a young quarterback? A running game. Cutter was forced to do that. Cutter was running the show the last 2 to 3 years. He wasn't forced to do anything he didn't want to do. He saw what he had at running back. He didn't like it, so he built the offense to pass.
But, Lee, one thing you're not mentioning is all of Cutter's attention and all of Cutter's focus in 2015 was that offense.
Welcome. And why?
And when he became a head coach, just like almost anybody else, you got these different responsibilities. It takes you away from being hands-on.
I've heard that.
And it hurt the Bucs.
I have heard that.
Running game. Really bad.
I didn't hear that hurt the running game, but again, Cutter built the offense around the pass. And I don't know how to be more clear about this. He was ordered by the guy who hired him, you are to run the ball. He was not under those orders after Lovie Smith left.
Let me throw this out. Steve, let me throw it out quickly. No, I'll wait. We'll wrap up the
All right, let me throw it to Zach. He's got a couple of questions for you. Ira, sit up straight. These are you need to give better wisdom, Ira. Come on.
Little pop culture question over there, Zach.
Did you see my movie?
I saw Booksmart. I don't know about what movie.
It was Aladdin.
Oh, Aladdin? No, no, not yet. Not yet.
I'm going to see it again on Sunday.
I believe we'll check out Rocket Man this weekend.
Oh.
Little Rocket Man, little Elton John over there. I'm not a huge Elton John fan, but the reviews are strong. Of course, the reviews were good for Booksmart, and I lasted 38 minutes.
I thought Rocket Man was some kind of Marvel comic thing.
No. That's a Marvel. You know what? I used to read Marvel comics as a kid.
Oh, really?
The Fantastic Four, The Thing. I was into that stuff.
The Thing.
And I think I stopped reading it last year.
Isn't that what they called Charles Sims running?
Never mind that. All right, go ahead.
Let me start this off by saying, if Steve wants me to go out there on the 20th and mark down everything you eat, I'll be more than happy. I'll come out there with a knife, with a camera.
You better bring a big piece
of
paper.
I'll be snapping it. I'll go get my big notebook.
I think I'm going to be embarrassed if he doesn't, because it'll be an inordinate amount of food. Different kinds of food. Oh, unbelievable.
Oh, this Sunday I'm going to go see Aladdin again, but something else I'm doing, indoor rock climbing.
Indoor rock climbing?
First thing I'm going to ask you, have you ever done that? Ever been indoor rock climbing? Ever been rock climbing?
Have you seen me in some kind of a physical activity, Zach? You wouldn't be asking that question. You're lucky I can get up the stairs at One Buck Place over here. Rock climbing? Next thing you'll be going to Everest and trying to climb some kind of 30,000-foot mountain in Nepal over there, Lee. I look like a guy that's going to be climbing rocks?
Not rocks, but I've seen you trying to climb the walls of this building trying to deal with me.
The answer is a sharp zero. Zero on the rock climbing. Zero.
Oh. All right, well, I'm going to switch it up. So I'm wearing my Gator stuff today, University of Florida
Gator. And I noticed.
And my man Vernon Hargraves came up to me in practice, gave me a little knuckle touch, go Gators, things like that.
Nice.
He was returning punts today. Do you see him being any sort of a factor on special teams?
If he can get the job done, Arians will not think twice about using him in that regard. How do I know that? He used freaking Patrick Peterson. And no, Mr. Hargraves, you are no Patrick Peterson. But Peterson did a good job. I think it was punt returns for Arizona those first couple of years at least. And, you're talking about a Pro Bowl cornerback. You know, hey, you worried about getting injured? No, he can help us. So if Hargraves can get the job done, any Buck fan that's going to say, oh, wait a minute, you can't risk Vernon Hargraves. Arians doesn't think like that, Lee.
I got to give Zach props. Eagle eye, he caught that. I didn't.
Unbelievable.
And he asked me if he's ever done it before, and I said, well, I know he's not done in the NFL. And I started doing some research. Turns out he averaged at Florida, and not many punt returns, but he averaged at Florida 8 yards a carry, which Steve says is actually pretty good.
That's about the same as Humphreys, I think.
I, you know, Steve and I have written about this many times before. The Bucs' return game's been invisible the last few years. So if Hargraves can do that, that's going to help him stay on this roster because I don't think he's secure as so many other people do. So good job, Zach.
The return game can help you win a game, and that's big.
It can.
It can help you win a game.
Right. Well, it's funny because I stole Steve's NFL Game Pass the other day, and I was watching the
Steve, are you aware of this?
I asked him first. All right. But I was watching the Bucks Chargers game from 2016. Keith Tandy's interception at the end of that game.
This was during that 5-game winning streak.
It was. Vernon Hargraves actually did return a punt in that game.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they took out Josh Huff, I think.
How many yards did he get, Zach?
It went for like 3-4 yards. It wasn't much.
But he didn't fumble it.
He didn't fumble it, no.
Is Josh Huff the wide receiver that got his knee completely shredded in that game?
Cecil Shorts had his knee completely shredded in that game. Josh Huff is the one who, against New Orleans twice, I think, ended up having a return go to the 1-yard line.
Did you research from this young intern? It's outstanding.
Huh? No, that's it.
Okay. All right, now I will ask my question. And now that you have the microphone, I want you to chime in on this.
All right.
Lee, we're a few days away from...
you tell Zach you want him to answer. The first thing you say is, Lee!
I'll get around to that.
I'll wait my turn.
But seniority. Yeah, seniority. Guys, we're a few days away from mandatory minicamp. And then it's like, you know, we're out of here for 7 weeks.
They scatter.
A long time.
Yeah.
Because usually we're used to like mid-June. Now, this is early June.
Oh, right. I remember those days.
So we're going to go around. I'm going to start with you, Lee. You'll finish with me. Give me one
thing. You just said you were starting with Zach. What's going on?
I'm not starting with Zach. I'm not starting with Zach second. Lee, what are you honing in on next week at Mandatory Minicamp? What are you interested in?
Cold beer.
Cold beer. Expand on that, young man. assuming that the players don't line up in front of us and we have a view of what's going on, is there a position group that has your interest?
I'm always going to be interested in Jameis because he is so important to this team, both now and the future. There's really, you know, Arians has said it. Cutter said it. I'll say it. There's not a whole lot you can get out of underwear football.
What are you looking for in terms of Jameis?
Completions. Just looking smooth, quick decisions. Like today, Zach and I were watching. It was goal or it was 2-minute drill. They're in red zone. Held the ball. He would have been sacked 5 times.
You
held the ball.
Decisiveness.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want to see.
It seemed he was holding onto that ball for like 30 seconds.
I know.
And eventually,
Zach said, "Get rid of it."
Which, what are you going to look at next? It depends what this bit's got you charting over there. I understand that.
The position that's completely fixed, the secondary.
Nice intro.
You know, I've been charting Jameis for a while now, so I've been watching it, but one of the few positions I think that you can really take away from these practices is the secondary, because you can get cornerback receiver battles going on even without pads. But the young secondary, I mean, they're showing a lot of speed, a lot of urgency so far. But I want to see, you know, I want to see balls on the ground. Unlike you, you want to see completions. I want to see how effective they can be against this, you know, pretty stacked receiver group.
Do you see tight coverage out there, Zach, or soft
relatively
coverage?
A lot more press than I've seen in past years under Mike Smith. They are a lot more aggressive, a lot more physical than they were under Mike Smith, for sure.
Steve, what are you looking for next?
All right, Sage, look, it's underwear football. Come on. I agree with Lee. I want to see Jameis look sharp. This offense, Arians told us these guys were a quick study. That's where all the veterans are. I want to see them dominate overall. They should. I mean, that's where the talent is on this team. The only other thing I would say is I want to see Devin White look like the number 5 overall pick, even though it's early, just look like an explosive side-to-side guy who's looked like he knows he's commanding the defense.
And I'm going to look at the guy that I wrote about the other day that Isbitt's branded as a very solid column, and Steve doesn't throw out comments like that. Number 27, who's a, you know, not a day goes by that Arians doesn't talk about Ronald Jones. I want to see him catch a couple of balls. I saw one in the indoor facility last week. I want to see some more. I want to see him. I want to see some hands that have confidence. I want to see hands that get something.